They travelled several days, encamping in the pleasantest places they could find, and were within one day's journey of Haran, when Codadad, directing his discourse to all his company, said, "Princes, I have too long concealed from you who I am. Behold your brother Codadad. I, as well as you, received my being from the Sultan of Haran. The Prince of Samaria brought me up, and the Princess Pirouzeh is my mother. Madam," added he, addressing himself to the Princess of Deryabar, "do you also forgive me for having concealed my birth from you? Perhaps by discovering it sooner, I might have prevented some disagreeable reflections which may have been occasioned by a match you may have thought unequal."
"No, sir," answered the princess. "The opinion I at first conceived of you heightened every moment, and you did not stand in need of the extraction you now discover to make me happy."
The princes congratulated Codadad on his birth, and expressed much satisfaction at being made acquainted with it. But in reality, instead of rejoicing, their hatred of so amiable a brother was increased. They met together at night, and forgetting that had it not been for the brave son of Pirouzeh, they might have been devoured by the black, agreed among themselves to murder him. "We have no other course to choose," said one of them. "For the moment our father shall come to understand that this stranger, of whom he is already so fond, is our brother, he will declare him his heir, and we shall all be obliged to obey and fall down before him." He added much more, which made such an impression on their unnatural minds that they immediately repaired to Codadad, then asleep, stabbed him repeatedly, and leaving him for dead in the arms of the Princess of Deryabar, proceeded on their journey to the city of Haran, where they arrived the next day. The Sultan, their father, conceived the greater joy at their return, because he had despaired of ever seeing them again. He asked what had been the occasion of their stay, but they took care not to acquaint him with it, making no mention either of the black or of Codadad, and only said that being curious to see different countries, they had spent some time in the neighbouring cities. In the meantime, Codadad lay in his tent, weltering in his blood, and little differing from a dead man, with the princess, his wife, who seemed to be in not much better condition than himself. She rent the air with her dismal shrieks, tore her hair, and bathing her husband's body with her tears, "Alas, Codadad, my dear Codadad," cried she, "is it you whom I behold just departing this life? Can I believe these are your brothers who have treated you so unmercifully, those brothers whom thy valour had saved? Oh, heaven, which has condemned me to lead a life of calamities, if you will not permit me to have a consort, why did you permit me to find one? Behold, you have now robbed me of two, just as I began to be attached to them." By these and other moving expressions, the afflicted princess of Deryabar vented her sorrow, fixing her eyes on the unfortunate Codadad, who could not hear her. But he was not dead, and his consort, observing that he still breathed, ran to a large town she espied in the plain to inquire for a surgeon. She was directed to one, who went immediately with her. But when they came to the tent, they could not find Codadad, which made them conclude he had been dragged away by some wild beast to be devoured. The princess renewed her complaints and lamentations in the most affecting manner. The surgeon was moved, and being unwilling to leave her in so distressed a condition, proposed to her to return to the town, offering her his house and service. She suffered herself to be prevailed upon. The surgeon conducted her to his house, and without knowing, as yet, who she was, treated her with all imaginable courtesy and respect. He used all his endeavours to comfort her, but it was vain to think of removing her sorrow. "Madame," said he to her one day, "be pleased to recount to me your misfortunes. Tell me your country and your condition. Perhaps I may give you some good advice, when I am acquainted with all the circumstances of your calamity." The surgeon's words were so efficacious that they wrought on the princess, who recounted to him all her adventures, and when she had done, the surgeon directed his discourse to her. "Madame," said he,
You ought not thus to give way to your sorrow. You ought rather to arm yourself with resolution and perform what the duty of a wife requires of you. You are bound to avenge your husband. If you please, I will wait on you as your attendant. Let us go to the Sultan of Harran's court. He is a good and a just prince. You need only represent to him in lively colours how Prince Codadad had been treated by his brothers. I am persuaded he will do you justice.
I submit to your reasoning, answering the princess. It is my duty to endeavour to avenge Codadad, and since you are so generous as to offer to attend me, I am ready to set out.
No sooner had she fixed this resolution than the surgeon ordered 2 camels to be made ready, on which the princess and he mounted and repaired to Harran. They alighted at the first caravanserai they found and inquired of the host the news at court.
Deryabar, said he, is in very great perplexity. The Sultan had a son who lived long with him as a stranger, and none can tell what is become of the young prince. One of the Sultan's wives, named Piruze, is his mother. She has made all possible inquiry, but to no purpose. The Sultan has 49 other sons, all by different mothers, but not one of them has virtue enough to comfort him for the death of Codadad. I say his death, because it is impossible he should be still alive, since no intelligence has been heard of him, notwithstanding so much search has been made.
The surgeon, having heard this account from the host, concluded that the best course the princess of Deryabar could take was to wait upon Piruze. But that step required much precaution, for it was to be feared that if the Sultan of Harran's sons should happen to hear of the arrival of their sister-in-law and her design, they might cause her to be conveyed away before she could discover herself. The surgeon weighed all these circumstances, and therefore, that he might manage matters with discretion, desired the princess to remain in the caravanserai while he repaired to the palace, to observe which might be the safest way to conduct her to Piruze.